Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
We were just talking about it, but how are you doing?
I'm all right. Trying to dodge bacteria and viruses in the air. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, I can't. I don't have time to get sick. Yeah. So.
I won't say the exact date for, like, safety purposes, but this is probably the last fresh, quote-unquote, episode we'll have before we go to Korea. We have something in the queue, right? So we'll be good to... We'll keep our regular schedule, but, yeah, we need to not get sick.
Yeah. Maybe we could talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I cannot get sick, so... I'm vaccinated, COVID in particular, so that's what we were just discussing, so that's why I'm trying to dodge bacteria and whatnot, and yeah, trying to get ready. Oof. I'm like, the closer we get, the more nervous I get about it, but I'm looking forward to it. I need a vacation real bad, although I feel like this is going to be one of those vacations that's not very vacation-y.
We're going to be on the move. You need a vacation from your vacation.
Yeah, we're going to be on the move 24/7, so.
Yeah, I don't know why I randomly coughed. Psychosomatic. Talking about bacteria in the air, yeah. Yeah. A precursor of my wheezing to come, going up and down all the stairs. Yeah, I'm really excited. I feel good about it. I'm just, like, stressed about all the stuff I have to do between now and then. So it's, like, it feels more real to me, but it's almost like I can't even think that far ahead. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, even just the day-to-day logistics of, like, getting things done, like, filing various paperwork before I leave or trying to get money from the bank, which, like... I was texting you about this yesterday, but, like, the teller literally tried to give me North Korean won. And I was like, how do you even have this? Like, am I on a watch list now? Like, she said the amount to me, and it didn't even sound, like, in the right range of, like, a quick Google search. Like, I knew it differs, you know, and the bank is probably taking a cut. But I was like, that sounds not right. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, South Korea? And she was like, yeah. And then, like, later, as we were wrapping up, I was also in the bank in my slippers because I tried to do the drive-thru, so I was just, like, a hot mess all around. But then she was like, oh, yeah, you are right. Whoops. And I'm like, what do you mean, whoops? Like, are the feds going to show up at my door? Like, Americans cannot even go to North Korea, so why does a regular, like, retail commercial bank, like... Anyway, whatever. It all's well that ends well, but I was just trying to get some cash because I feel like when I was in Japan, it was very cash-free and you could use Suica, and I know that Korea has, like, T-money, but I've just heard, like, mixed things or, like, I just want to have a little bit of cash on hand. So it wasn't even that much, but just enough if, like, should my cards not work, I can get through a few days and figure out a plan, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We try to do a few things that aren't necessarily, like, not that it's not foreigner friendly, but just not, it's not easy for you to make a purchase unless you have, like, a Korean, like, phone number or, like, bank or whatever. And so I have a feeling we're going to get there trying to do certain things and we're going to need to, like, have cash on us, like, ready to go because we can't purchase it necessarily with our own cards.
Well, and I guess this is related, actually, but... For, like, our listeners, we were trying to book Yoongi's D-Day concert movie. And, like, in Korea, you can't even purchase movie tickets without, like, some kind of, like, foreign registration number or something. Or there was some registration that was required. And then I was like, well, maybe I can use, like, KakaoPay. Because I have a KakaoTalk account from when our DC group chat was more active. But it was like, you need, like, a Korean bank or a Korean phone number. And I understand it's all, like, anti-money laundering. Like, I'm sure it's, like, to make it more secure. But I'm like, this is a total catch-22 where, like, I can't get one thing if I don't have the other. Mm-hmm. And so it was just this waterfall effect. So shout out to my friend who let me PayPal her money. and she bought them, or we would not be going. Yeah.
We were losing our minds trying to find tickets for this movie. One, thinking that it was going to be released the same time that it was released internationally, which was it was not. The CGV, like, Korean dates were released, what, like, a few weeks later? And yeah. I don't think we knew, like, the exact timing of when it was going to be released. So we could, like, see them in the theater, but they looked like they were all sold out. We were like, no freaking way. And then he sent a message in the morning. It was like 6 something in the morning.
I'm like, wake up, wake up.
I like just barely opened my eyes. I'm like, hold on, let me go see if I can like get these tickets, right? Because like no one was saying anything, so I'm like in there.
Probably because they were sleeping.
I'm in there like swimwear, right? But you weren't replying either, and I'm like, where's Julie? I'm in there like swimwear. I'm like, I've picked the seats, like, we're doing this. And then I'm trying to purchase them. Nope, need a Korean like credit card. Then I'm like, all right, let me download Kakao Pay. Nope, need a registration number. And then it was like all these other things, right? Like it just would not work. I tried to put in my like actual bank account info. That didn't work. It was just nothing was working. It felt like I was trying to purchase like a BTS concert tickets. I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like the amount of stress I'm under.
I was actually gonna mention that though, because like, you know, you hear stories about international army trying to get tickets to go see BTS in Korea, and like some of them succeed, right? You see flags like from different countries, like even at like the Busan concert or other places, and I'm like, how? I mean, maybe they're living in Korea, like I don't know their background, yeah. Right? But like for the people that travel and like get tickets in Korea for BTS, like actually, if you're a listener who's done that, like please send us a message, because I want to know the logistics. Like, because as Kalea was saying, even buying a movie ticket, we're like sweating and panicking and like going through the stages of grief.
It was absolutely ridiculous. I'm also like, more and more I have more respect for army that are like in Korea but not necessarily like in Seoul or like other like major metropolitan areas, and so it's like 10 times more like harder to access BTS content. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I don't fully get it, but I get it.
I just need to figure out. I thought I was good at like planning and logistics. Like, actually, I'm very fun and spontaneous, that TikTok audio. But like, when I travel, my friends and I like normally plan out everything, and we have all the spreadsheets. We're like very organized. I feel like we've been pretty organized this trip. But like, I really wanted to go see, I'm blanking on the name of the place, but it's the set where Daejeetah was filmed, right? And like, we were looking at tickets to go there. And it was like too soon or something, or we were like, we need to figure out like where this fits. So I was looking, and then we went back like literally 2 weeks later, and everything was sold out like for the dates we wanted. So I guess word to the wise, if you're going to Korea and you want to do like BTS related things, like bring your A game, because so does every other army. And like I looked at 4 or 5 different tour companies, and like everything was sold out. So if someone's listening and you have pro tips, like, feel free to share them. But this isn't my first rodeo, but it kind of feels like it is. The way I've been panicking.
Exactly. The streets say, and by streets I mean TikTok, you have to essentially, like, book everything in advance in Korea, because, like, you can't go anywhere without, like, booking certain things. And you have to do it, like, weeks in advance. Otherwise, you will not get a chance. So yeah, be mindful of that if you are planning a trip to Korea.
But like, you know, I could plan ahead. I've been to the Miyazaki Museum outside of Tokyo like twice, and you have to plan like months in advance, and you have to like wake up at whatever time and like book the ticket. But like, I've been able to get tickets both times, and like same thing with Team Lab Planets, that art installation that Tae went to, and I recently saw Megan Thee Stallion was there. Like, you also have to book in advance, but like, the procedure is very clear. Maybe that's the difference. There's like instructions on the website of like first A, then B, then C. You know what I mean? Like you're like, okay, this is going to be a bloodbath. A lot of people want these tickets, but at least I know like at 11:30 a.m. I have to be in the queue. You know, I feel like everything for Korea, we've been like, maybe we should book this, or like, I'll try. Oh, you need a foreigner registration number. Oh, you need Kakao Pay. Oh, you need Naver Pay. Oh, there's this other card you can use called Wow Pass or whatever. Not sponsored. I didn't use it. But like, I'm downloading apps, but I have like no idea what I'm doing. So anyway, yeah,
I'm sure whatever we do, we'll have fun. I was trying to figure out what the forecast would be when we arrive, and some site was forecasting like rain like every single day that we were there, and I'm like, this better be a lie. This better not be true.
I mean, if it is, we'll just power through, because I don't really see any other option, you know.
We would have to, but we're trying to do like a lot of scenic things. Like a lot. A lot. So it would be really unfortunate if it was raining every single day that we were there. Oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, if it's cloudy and rainy leading up to it, that could work in our favor to like delay the cherry blossoms a bit. I saw that Tokyo's cherry blossoms were pushed back a little. They're already blooming here in Pittsburgh. I know you went recently in DC. So like, it can be cold and rainy before we get there. I just need a few days of sun.
Just a few.
I have asthma. Not, like, super bad, but I will be bringing my inhaler, because I also saw a couple of people I know that live there have been posting about, like, how bad the spring dust is right now. So I'm like, I'm going to be walking up 40 flights of stairs and, like, breathing bad air.
Yeah.
Like, my lungs are about to be screaming.
Yeah, same thought.
But yeah, anyway, this isn't our main topic for today, so we can leave it here. But mm-hmm. lots of logistics.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, main topic today. It's Hobie Day once again. we are here to talk about Hope on the Street, Volume 1, both album and documentary.
You and I were talking about this before, but just in case any of our listeners are confused, how I was confused, we don't have any details about a volume 2 yet. I was confused because the versions for volume 1 are version 1 prelude and version 2 interlude, and so I was somehow like mixing that like music terminology with the volume number, and I'm like, so are the different colors different volumes? No, they are not. It's just two versions of volume 1. So I need to hit up Target ASAP. So yeah, I want to do like pre-order and like have them ship them to me. We've complained about this in the past, but you can't select versions, so I'm still here wondering when I'll be able to select versions so I don't get two of the same.
Yeah, I'll try and hit up Target today to see if I can find them. Let's see. So accompanying album to the docuseries, it's a six part docuseries, six episodes. Two episodes were released yesterday. Well, was it yesterday?
It was Thursday.
Yeah. And we will get the rest through what did it say? Did it say April 12th?
Let me toggle to that tab. I had no information, and now I have all the information.
Through April 12th, we will get the remaining episodes.
It looks like we get two a week, so it'll be like Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. Thank you, Hobie, getting me to the weekend.
All right, should we start with the album or the docuseries?
Well, I guess let's start with the docuseries since we're talking about it. I will caveat this by saying I have been very busy adulting and getting ready for this trip, which isn't fun. I mean, the trip will be fun, but adulting is not fun. So I only watched part of the first episode, but my plan hopefully is to get caught up today. But how about you?
Yeah, so I watched episode 1. I started episode 2, but I didn't get through all of it. But Yeah, episode one was essentially him giving his backstory and reason for why he chose to do this docu-series. It was kind of like an overview of episodes to come. It was him giving his narratives of essentially what you can expect in the upcoming episodes. Like, he's telling you, like, when he struggled in New York, for example, like, you'll see in later episodes, like, it's kind of him narrating it like that. But you also see who he plans to collaborate with, the locations he will go in order to do those collaborations, some snippets of the songs that you'll hear throughout the docuseries. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I think the first episode was on the street themed. So I think it'll be going in order, album order, essentially, for the next few episodes.
That makes sense. Yeah, I saw in episode one when he's filming at that Uncommon Grounds coffee shop. I had read about that before in Korea. And it's like all these shipping containers that have been turned into like boutiques and like artsy gift shops and a cafe, and I'm like, maybe we need to go here. But anyway, not circling back to the trip, but he chose a really aesthetic place to kick it off.
I was wondering where he was filming this. I was like, is this Korea? But it was like super international as well. It was a ton of shops like from like all over the world. So I was like, where is he? I don't know where he is right now.
Let me make sure that's correct.
I believe you. I'm sure he was in Korea, but I knew he did some things on the street in New York as well. So I was like, is this New York? And I was like, no, this doesn't look like New York. Then it kind of reminded me of, I do not remember the name of it, that place you took us to when we went on our New York trip that, like, connects through, I don't know where we were in New York. Was that Brooklyn? It's like
the way I don't walkway. Even remember this. You're like,
what? Where was it? It was like, it's like some walkway.
Are you talking about the High Line and yes. like Chelsea? That park. It was like a rail yes. line. They turned into a park.
Yes.
Oh, it's
it
called.
Kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, sorry. It's called Common Ground, not Uncommon Ground. I added the un for no reason. But yeah, it is Seoul's. It says Seoul Shipping Container Shopping Mall.
Mm.
So he was in Seoul. I didn't. Yeah.
The way it was overlooking the city reminded me of that place in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're at, like, a higher elevation. That place is cool. I love the High Line. I'm glad we went there. Maybe we should go here. Although, I was thinking, like, probably because he just featured it in his documentary, it will be packed. Not Girls with Fun without a technical break. Anyway.
Like, this early on is crazy. Anyway.
We made it 18 whole minutes.
Anyway. Yeah. Any thoughts on episode one? Did you finish episode one?
I didn't. I think I got like 20 to 20. Did I even get 20? I probably got a third of the way in, so I need to do that today. He was talking with some of the people he was going to collab with and calling them, and they were showing, like, old footage. Which is, like, this is my perennial question, but, like, have we seen some of that footage before? Because some of it was truly, like, three... I'm tired of this grandpa. I don't know what the heck I was saying. Have we seen some of that footage before? Yeah, because it was like really potato quality.
I don't know if that was just like stylistic choice. I mean, I know it opened up in sort of like throwback quality, but that was the ending of his Lollapalooza documentary that we saw on Disney Plus, so that wasn't like old, but we had seen that footage before, right? So I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm in some of the like 2011 stuff. It was interesting too, because when I was watching the episode, Prime Video was like, do you want to skip the intro? But the intro was so cool, so I'm glad I didn't, you know? But like,
yeah,
anyway, I was like,
I thought the same. Also, Prime's doing the ads now, and it was really annoying.
I'm not gonna comment on that, because if I do, we'll be here for an hour and a half. But yeah.
Oh gosh. Because
okay, the only thing I'll say is like, Prime is not cheap, right? Like, if you pay for Amazon Prime, isn't it like $140 a year? I mean, my brother pays, so shout out to my brother. But like, he's probably like, what are you watching right now? But also, he knows by this point. Anyway, yeah, we all have our separate profiles. But yeah, it's not cheap, so why are you throwing ads in here? We're basically back to the cable model, but like streaming, right? They're all upping their prices. They don't want you to share. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop myself. The sigh aside. Yeah, when Hobie was like talking and I was kind of... I was kind of simping with you before we started this call, but like when Hobie was talking about like his rationale for like why he wanted to do this docuseries and this album and like his the purpose of it, it doesn't happen as much as it happened in the past. I think Jack in the Box probably like blasted that one-dimensional view out of the water, but I think like if people reduce him to like our Sunshine Hobie, which is cute and I like refer to him as that, but like the cheery one, the happy one, the whatever one, it's really like, and this is true for all of them, I guess, whatever their thing may be, but like it's really reducing them as people, because when I listen to him talk, I'm like, this guy has a lot of like deep and complicated feelings. I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know what word I want. But like, he's being very intentional about this project. And yeah, I was just in my Hobie feels. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I think he does. How would I say this? I think he's a private person. And so he, I think he chooses not to share, or I think he chooses to show a certain side of himself. Intentionally, like as J-Hope of BTS. So it is nice when we get these projects where we can see more dimensions of their personality and their thoughts and whatnot. Yeah, I enjoyed hearing his thoughts on why he wants to pursue this project and how much it means to him, going back to his roots. It seems like it's kind of a continuation of Jack in the Box, in a way. Doing a lot of reflection on, like, who am I as an artist or as a person? Why am I here? Kind of thing. So I am excited to see this journey that he's going to take us on for the next few episodes.
Yeah, I don't have that much else to say about it because I need to get caught up, but I will say I just realized like how much of like a Bangtan withdrawal that I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we've had content, we've had like Tay's song recently, but like, I don't know, just seeing Hobie and like listening to Hobie talk, like, I miss this.
Yeah, I love seeing him connect with other artists or dancers for this project, and you know, introducing us to people that we may have not been familiar with. And one thing in particular that I liked in the first episode, they were like talking about one of the dancers, and I cannot remember his name, but they're in Osaka, and meeting this dancer that Hobie has not met before, but has watched growing up, and I believe he's I don't know if it's his thing, like popping is his thing only, or he's just really good at it, or they were just highlighting that dance in particular, but they gave like a little like blurb or background on like popping and its origins, and I was like, oh, this is very like intentional. Like Hybe or Hobie or collaboration are doing a good job at making sure they're like giving like due respects to the origins of these dance moves that he's into, or these genres that he's into. So I really appreciated that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You wonder like how much they think about these things in general. So it's nice to know that they are, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, I can't comment too much otherwise because I feel like episode two was where it really was starting to get into the nitty gritty, but I don't know. It was just great seeing him again. I was like, my man. So happy to see him again. I can't believe I'm seeing him again.
Yeah.
I mean, we see him from time to time on Instagram, so it's not like we've been like completely in a drought, but it's just nice hearing... It's just nice hearing them talk, or hearing him talk, since yeah. I feel like it's been a while.
No, it really is. It really is. Yeah, the loud coughing. At least Hobie goes on Instagram, but our man Yoongi is in his Do Not Perceive Me era, which we knew, but... And this is Hobie's episode, so I will keep this brief, but he recently started his 3-week like basic training, and I saw that Jin was there as announced by Dispatch. But like the only pictures Dispatch could get were like the outside of the tint of the van and with the super tinted windows, and so I'm like, I will not see a hair on this man's head until he's back from the military. So
I was wondering if Dispatch intentionally chose to only release those photos as well, like if maybe Hybe might have asked like, don't take pictures of him, because he's kind of okay. I guess you have to report on it, or you want to report on it, right? But it was almost like, what are these pictures? It's just like rain and like cars driving. Like I'm not seeing anything. like what's the point? So I wonder if they were asked to not, because I'm sure, or I imagine that they saw him in some capacity.
Yeah, like getting out of the car in the rain.
Yeah, yeah, and they just chose not to share it, maybe out of respect or request from Hybe.
Because we've had pictures of the other members, whether or not we should, right?
Right.
Yeah. We shall see.
Yeah, and clearly they chose not to share pictures of him enlisting either. So, yeah, he truly is like, do not think of me for the next 2 years.
Dang.
I'm gone. I'll see you when I see you.
He took his Suga persona, put it on the shelf, and was like, I exist only as Min Yoongi currently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
We've seen a lot of them. Well, yeah, we've seen a lot of the members in the last few weeks, I would say.
Yeah, June posted a picture. It was like his first vacation or whatever. He was out drinking. Drinking and at the museum. Yeah. I'll take things that definitely happened for 5,000. Like, Dean has one day off, goes to the museum. Like, we all saw that coming.
Yeah. They've been sharing a lot of photos of them with their soldier friends. I wanted to call something else, but I'm not sure if I was using the right word. Anyway. the friends they've made while in service. I've been seeing a few of those photos, and Tae's been sharing his friend's content, which we did not talk about on here. And I feel like we've heard from JK. He's a cook, apparently. It's very on brand.
I'm, like, really jealous that, like, a whole squadron, platoon, whatever the terminology is, like, a whole grouping of people in the military like get to eat his food every day. I'm like, why am I jealous of this? But I am. Like,
yeah. Jimin shared a post not too long ago, and we got an update from Jin, like, you know, the ones he's pre-recorded. But yeah, I don't know. It's, we've been active in a different way, but we're hearing from them, so we're I'll take what I can get. We know Suga's alive, so I'll take that.
A couple of weeks ago, I think it was on like Korea Boo or something, you know, Facebook keeps feeding it to me because I keep clicking, so this is a me problem, but like I guess his signature was spotted at like some boxing gym in Seoul, and I was like, you know what, this is enough. I know he's alive, he's working on his fitness, like I'll take it. The absolute crumbs I'm willing to accept these days.
Exactly.
But yeah, he's alive. He's out and about.
Well, back to Hobi.
Yes.
As we mentioned, an album was released to accompany the docuseries. Six songs. Two of them were... we've received them in the past, but they're like new versions of old songs. Yeah. And then four other new tracks.
Kudos to Hobi for opening up the vaults, because how many times have we been like, give me like the version that was played at XYZ concert or like at XYZ show, and he's giving us the remixes, like the solo version of On the Street and then the What If dance mix. What's your favorite track off the six track album, EP, whatever terminology we're using?
So I was like, let me pull it up. I think somewhere between Neuron and I Don't Know.
Yeah. For me it's Neuron. It's just so catchy. I was hearing it on TikTok even before I listened to, like, the EP all the way through.
Yeah, so the tracks are On the Street, solo version. Track 2 is I Wonder, featuring JK. Track 3 is Lock Unlock with Benny Blanco and Nile Rodgers. Track 4 is I Don't Know with Hyunjin of Seraphim. Track 5 is What If? Dance mix with Jimbo the Super Freak, and track 6 is Neuron with Geico and Yunmire. Excuse me, Yunmire. Yeah, I think it's between those two. Now, will preface that I listened to this like while getting ready this morning, and I need to listen to it in my car. That's like my definitive, like.
That's true.
I don't know.
The boombox. Yeah, that's literally
how I like to experience albums. The best, so I need to like play this in my car to really solidify my thoughts on this. But so far I think those two are my favorite. Anything Yunmire, I'm going to be living for. She eats down every time. And I fully understand why that's the title track as well, because Geico's also great. Yeah. And I like Yunjin's voice too. I was just gonna say I like Yunjin's voice as well from Le Sserafim. So yeah.
My question that I was gonna ask is actually about this track. I really like her voice as well. Have we heard, my memory is bad as everyone knows, like, and I demonstrated even earlier this track, but have we had a Hobi collab with a female vocalist before?
I don't think so.
Because I was listening to it and I was like, something about his voice layered kind of behind hers. I was like, this is chef's kiss. Like, I don't know, the contrast. I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but it was really good.
I don't think so. No. Well, I mean, do you count Becky G?
Oh, true. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, the way the vocals the way the vocals were layered, I really appreciated in this track.
I was thinking,
How did I forget about chicken noodle soup? That's messed
well, I
up.
was also like thinking of the main albums, which I don't think Chicken Noodle Soup was on Hope World, right? It was, no, it was just a separate
No, it's a
solo.
solo,
So
yeah.
I was like, well, no. Then I'm like, what collaborations has he done? I'm like, wait. Yeah, I had to like go back and listen to Track Two with JK, because I was like, wait, JK was on? Like, I don't know. I thought it was him. I thought it was Hobie singing for a second. I'm like, wait, let me go back. It's actually JK.
JK's voice is so good. I can't even explain it. It's kind of like, okay, the face JK makes when he's eating something delicious and he looks angry, but he's actually happy. That's how I feel when I listen to JK's voice. Anyway, we were talking about JK, and you were saying that you had to double check like where he was singing. Is that correct?
That's correct. I feel like they sounded similar. Maybe it was just the way that I was listening to it. I was also in the shower, so that
The
could
waterfall
have
reverb
distorted.
effect.
Yeah, exactly. It could have distorted how I was hearing things. At first I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this album. Like, I feel like usually when I listen to Rap Line albums, like out the gate, I'm like, it's another one. Like, it's another hit. Like, and
DJ
so
Khaled voice.
the when I gave it like the first listen, and again, I feel like I'm not doing it. I wasn't doing it justice because I was listening to it in the shower, and not in my car. So I feel like I can't fully speak to this yet, but yeah, like upon first listen I was like, huh, and I'm like, okay, let me go back and listen again while I was not showering, and I enjoyed it more the second time. I think the track that threw me off was the Lock on Lock one, and I'm like, oh, it was by Benny Blanco, so that's probably nope, no offense. No offense, or maybe
Benny
all
Blanco
offense, I don't know.
catching strays.
I
Me with
just
Ed
don't.
Sheeran is you with Benny Blanco.
I just don't think I like his style or whatever. Yeah. What was that other track they had that I didn't care for? Mama
Bad
Snoop Dogg.
decisions.
Yeah, that's not my vibe. Sorry. Sorry.
It's a no from
Yeah,
Kalea.
it's a no for me, dog. So yeah, but anyway, the rest of the songs I did enjoy, and of course two of them we had already heard pretty much, so that wasn't a surprise to me. But yeah, the I don't know, man, that one might have to grow on me.
It's interesting because, like, I was rereading. So, as I was listening, I was rereading kind of all of the lyric or like the English lyric translations. And for as upbeat as it is, I wouldn't call it like a crying in the club album as we have joked about in the past, but it is kind of like uncertain. Like, a lot of the lyrics are about like time passing and like where will we be on the map? You know what I mean? Or like, how will our lives kind of progress? Like walking the see the scarred flower path blooming with you becoming lush in the dawn fading. I mean, this is the solo version of On the Street, so people probably are familiar with the general message of that song, but even like I wonder, he says like, I wonder how we'll be living our lives in the face and darkness of time, face each other without expectation, there's no answer. Let's see. It's interesting because, like, Up All Night, I feel like or I don't know, sorry, I was reading the lyrics. They talk about being up all night and then, like, with your eyes wide open, and I'm like staring at the ceiling at 4 a.m. because you're anxious, you know? Like, it's like a very kind of boppy sounding, like, I mean, it's to go with a dance documentary, so it has that very, like, dance heavy sound, but even so, the lyrics are like, what storms and trials are coming to you, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Just looking at Neuron again, I don't know. Basically, the point that I'm making to summarize is, like, even though it's dance heavy, like, I wasn't expecting that many sad lyrics, and there's still, I wouldn't even say sad lyrics necessarily. There's just, like, time is passing, I'm uncertain, what's coming next kind of overarching message. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering what volume 2 will sound like. I'm assuming we'll get a volume 2, and I don't know how many volumes we'll get, right?
10 volumes later.
I mean, yeah, could be, right? And we were kind of like spitballing whether we would get volume 2 like shortly after this, or, you know, if it will come back after he gets out from his military service, or what, like, when will we get volume 2? I don't know. But I kind of had the thought, like, will volume 2, well, I was wondering if this album was more of like a initially I had the thought that this was kind of more like a mood album or like a very genre specific album, but it's not really tied to one genre. So maybe this theory doesn't necessarily make sense in this case, but I was wondering if it was kind of going to be kind of like a, I don't know, a la Renaissance thing. You have volume 1 that's like most dancey, and then volume 2 that's more hip-hop, volume 3 that's more some other genre, but I don't think that necessarily fits because this album isn't necessarily tied to one genre. Like Renaissance kind of is. So, I don't know. I'm just curious what he'll do or how many volumes we'll get after this.
Only Hobie knows. Hobie, if you're listening, drop a hint.
Right. I mean, it looked like from the video footage that this was recorded not recently, but not around the time he enlisted, like I don't know, like, I'm assuming sometime around, like, that Lollapalooza time to when he enlisted, so this wasn't, like, super long ago, so I'm like, I don't know what footage he would have also recorded before he left. So I'm thinking we'll get more once he's out, but we never know what they're doing. I was also like, when did he have time to film this?
Like, well, that's where my brain was going. I was like, I thought this was like a time for them to step back or whatever, but we, like, what all did we have from him? Like, he was the first to do his album. He was at Lollapalooza. He did his documentary, right? Mm-hmm. Now we have the second album. We have another documentary. Like, if there's a volume 2... and a third documentary. Yeah. When are you sleeping? Like, the math is not mathing.
He doesn't. I think we...
Well, I mean, I guess that song with Han Yoon-jin tells us that they're not sleeping, staring at the ceiling anxiously.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. I'll report back if my preferences change once I listen to it in my vehicle.
Yeah, I think as soon as we finish recording, I'm gonna, like, get in my car and go to Target, with Hope Beyond the Brain, and it'll just be like windows rattling. Like,
I felt like it would be remiss to not have a conversation about the state of the fandom right now, especially around this album. We got a question recently in or on Instagram, right? I think you, when we recently didn't post an episode on schedule, you hosted like a Q&A for a little bit on Instagram. Someone asked us how we felt about the boycott that's going on with, you know, HYBE products, like, you know, Army for Palestine movement, so on and so forth. And you shared your thoughts on it. I did not share mine, so I felt like it's worth bringing up here on the podcast. And I feel like it'd be hard for us to have this conversation without, like, not speaking about it, because this has been ongoing for months at this point. You know, Army are leading efforts in support of Palestine. In doing so, some part of it calls for a boycott of HYBE products, and that's any HYBE product, right? So that's music, that's merch, anything. And so that impacts all HYBE artists as well, right? It's not just a call for BTS. But yeah, I'll start off by saying this is like the most divided I've seen this fandom in in a while. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of, I don't know, I really don't even know how to fully explain it, but one side of the fandom is like hardcore, like, you know, you must protest. I mean, they give options in various ways that you can do so, but, you know, protesting in some form. And then there's other fans who are like, you protesting makes you not a fan, right? Or it makes you not an ARMY. And I hate when we do that. I really do. I hate when we do that. I hate when we try and say, like, who's an ARMY or not, because it doesn't necessarily align with what you think. Which is like a side tangent I won't go on, but anyway. I mean, I personally go back and forth with the boycott specifically. I think a large part of the boycott is in trying to it's to get HYBE to divest from Zionism. And I think, you know, you can go back and forth about the semantics of divest or not, and whether that word should be used, or there should be some other term we should be using, or whether scooters should be or not, whether they can actually release Scooter from employment or not, so on and so forth. I guess I go back and forth with it, because I do think it is important to stand behind something. I think Scooter is a terrible person in general, like, even outside of, you know, the Zionism issues. I think Scooter is just not a great person. I'm not even sure why Bomb PD's like collaborated with him or placed him as, like, what is he, CEO of HYBE America? I don't get it, right?
Yeah.
I think he's had enough controversy that I question why they made that move. But yeah, I think he should go in general. but also, I question the effectiveness of this movement as a whole for like the Free Palestine movement. And I go back and forth about it, because I do think boycotts are effective, right? I think we've seen that with, like, Black Lives Matter. We've seen that plenty of times over the course of history. Like, you know, boycotting is important. I'm just not sure that this boycott I'm not sure that this boycott is the one in particular. And not because I don't think it's important. I think that it will be hard to get enough support around this cause in order for them to actually like do something about it. We're not unified on this. We're not unified on this cause at all. And so I don't know. I'm not going to tell anyone like this is dumb, you shouldn't support this, or I'm not necessarily like if you feel that you should support this cause, go for it. We've talked about boycotts in the past, or potentially boycotting Hybe in the past for other issues, right? And I've said if you want to boycott Hybe, you have to hit them where it hurts, right? You have to hit them in their pockets. I don't know. It's just something about it coming at the expense of the BTS members feels a little, like, dicey for me in this situation. But I'm not really sure what else you could do, honestly. So if you feel very strongly about this, do it. I did sign the petition. But I cannot guarantee that I will be boycotting like Hybe products fully. Obviously we're not, like we just talked about, we're going to see, you know, Suga's movie, and that there's a call for like boycotting that. We just talked about this album and this docuseries. Like I've watched Hybe things, right? So I can't say that I am fully doing my part either, but I'm trying to do my best to find ways to support the Palestinian movement in other ways. I'm just not entirely sure that this is the one, but I support those who feel strongly about it, and I hope to not see Scooter in general. I'm not sure that I can get rid of him for like legal reasons in general. I'll stop talking.
No, I mean, I generally agree with you. I shared my take on Instagram. I think people need to do what they feel is correct. Scooter has given bad vibes for a long time, so yeah. I agree with you there. I don't know, like, I also see TikToks of people posting, and I don't follow this fandom at all, so this isn't me throwing another group under the bus, but I see people talking about $1,500, like, TXT tickets. Like, if you really want to protest, you need to get everyone in and have that venue be empty.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's the scale that would be needed, you know what I mean? I don't think not going to see Yoongi's $20 or $40 movie or not buying J-Hope's album like is the scale of change. I think the members would have to come out and say something about the issue, or other big like stockholders. I mean, Hybe is publicly traded now. As you rightly mentioned, like Scooter's in a position of power in the organization. And also Scooter is one person. Like he's a figurehead. He might be an a-hole figurehead, but like what does getting Scooter out of Hybe do for the Palestinian people? Like I don't know.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is kind of like let's take one Zionist down at a time kind of thought. I'm not entirely sure.
Right.
Because you're right, that's how I felt about it as well. Like, how is this in particular helping the people of Gaza? But I mean, I also see how it could be if it was effective. I see how it could cause a ruckus, at least, I guess, to get people to see the sort of hate that he spews. I don't know. I think the only way we would see I think in order for our activism to be effective in this case, like you said, we'd have to see a member come out, publicly voice support for Palestine, Gaza, whatever. I think that would be the only way, or one way or the other, that would be the only way you would get to see like a large amount of like, okay, people are rallying behind one cause. Because otherwise, I think we're way too divided now to see us actually like band together on something, right? I think it made it easier for Army to support the Black Lives Matter movement because BTS donated money first. I'm not saying that people wouldn't have donated, but I'm not sure that we would have come together as a collective to donate that match a million if BTS hadn't come out and did it first. Yeah. And be not said anything, and I think they've intentionally chosen not to say anything about this issue. I'm not sure that we will see any large impact one way or the other on this matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you had the group of all seven make the donation for Black Lives Matter, and then Army followed their example, versus in this hypothetical instance, Army are pushing first, you know, mm-hmm. and trying to get maybe them to move. I don't know if that's a goal, but you know. But like, I mean, to your point, and we can cut this, this might be a super steaming hot take, but to your point, like, what happens if the members come out and say, like, I love Scooter. Scooter's a great guy. Like, I mean, this is the thing that you need to, like, prepare yourself for yeah. if you're going to push for this. You know, we've had people in the past where we're like, why is so-and-so friends with this person? Like, side eye, you know? But, like...
Right.
I just wonder if people are prepared for BTS to have a different... stance than them if you want them to say something, and then you need yeah. to be able to deal with like your personal emotional repercussions of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, this is a tough one. Well, yeah. I'm not sure where we go from here. Anyway, I think we have to wrap. I'm really not sure what else to say, right? Like, it's, this conversation is tough, man. It is tough. Yeah, it's tough. I hope when we come back, we'll have good things to report about Korea. And... looking forward to our Hobie theme episode, which will be very timely with the docuseries.
I was like, is this not our Hobie themed episode? Well, it like took me a second to get yeah. what you meant. Yeah, like our member app.
Yeah, next in our member series. So we'll be like Hobie on the brain for the next month or so. So
my nervous giggle. Love you, Hobie.
All right. Oh gosh, I feel like we never promoted our giveaways that we've been doing. And I know we're at the end here, but I feel like it's at least worth mentioning. We've been doing giveaways the 1st through the 7th of every month. We have what, 2 giveaways left? So yep. there will be another giveaway at the time that this is released. So head to our Instagram to check that out. I believe we have 3 albums left that we're giving away. I want to say it's Indigo, Jack in the Box, and Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want a free album, join our giveaway.
And to be clear, everyone, these are albums that are sealed. We have not, like, opened them and harvested the photo cards. Like, they've just been living on our shelves untouched. Exactly. So we could get our act together to do this.
We've been giving away 2 albums a month, so 2 winners will get picked, and we'll have one final winner in May. Wow. That was fast. Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone cares about this necessarily. Well, maybe you do. There's like a little note from us in there that we both signed when we were together, and like some nice freebies as well. That's like a little surprise. So you got more than just the album.
Yep. Exactly. So check our Instagram for more if you're interested. Yeah. Well, on that note, that'll do it for today's episode of Girls with Fun. We'll see you next time.
Bye.